And welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer, where we equip churches to move from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Revitalize and Replant is brought to you by the North American Mission Board.
Welcome to this episode of Revitalize and Replant. Just to let you know, this is a bonus episode. You know, what's a bonus episode? A bonus episode means it's an additional episode. It's always so cool to be with Mark Clifton and then Kevin Ezell every week. But how cool is it when you can come and get an additional dose of Mark, the International Harvester Hat, Clifton? And I got to let everyone know before we begin, Mark, you have been whining. I said that to you off recording, and now I'm telling it to you on recording. You have been whining. You have been a whiner. You know that?
I have been, and I'm probably going to whine all the way through this podcast, actually.
You love coming to Nashville, and we're doing
it. I do.
We're doing this one via Zoom. And the thing about it is, now we found out you could have come here because I thought I was going to be in Florida, and now I'm not. That trip has been delayed. So,
you know. I realize that.
And Mark, the audience can't see you on camera, but what kind of shirt is that?
What do you mean, what kind of shirt is it? It has a picture of Bill Monroe right here.
No, I'm talking about the shirt. I know the Bill Monroe shirt. I've seen that.
Right.
I'm talking
right.
about the shirt over the shirt. What
the
is
shirt
that?
Over the shirt? Those are snow cones, actually.
That's
snow
what I
cones.
Thought.
Yeah. All of my food is either, all of my clothing is either bluegrass characters or food. It's kind of.
Well, I want the audience to know what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the International Harvester hat. I'm looking at a snow cone shirt partially covering a Bill Monroe shirt. If I can keep my focus, I am doing a great job today.
All right, bro.
All is well. Mark, we do want to talk about, and I'll mention it again at the end, we've got an incredible Revitalize 2020 event coming up in Bradenton, Florida. I am pumped about it. And I know that you and the NAM team will be having a leading role in this, so it's going to be absolutely great.
I agree. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to meeting a lot of people I've never met. Looking forward to seeing a lot of friends.
Well, this event will sell out. We're limiting it to 500. We're in the early bird registration. That'll end on February 4th. So please note that if you're listening right now, obviously you are listening or you would have heard that sentence just then. So I don't know why I put it in the subjunctive. Since you are listening right now, make sure you go in and click on a very affordable event. 500 is our capacity. We will reach capacity. And this is a chance for you to get early bird. The date of the event is April 2021 in Bradenton, Florida. If you have been to Southwest Florida in April, you know that it is glorious. It is absolutely glorious. So as we partner with the North American Mission Board and IDEA Network, I want you to go on and sign up for that, get your place reserved, because if you don't now, you probably aren't going to have a place. All right, here we are on this episode, 5 questions to ask if your church is experiencing a financial shortfall.
Actually, I think we should change that.
All right, tell me what you want.
5 questions to ask when your church is experiencing a financial shortfall in revitalization. Has there ever been a revitalization without a financial shortfall? I don't know.
It's rare.
None that I've been a part of.
And of course, that means the answer to all revitalizations is just more money. Is at least that is
well. That's the big secret we don't want out. And then you and I would not have a job. So that's true.
Well, to let you know, we did a blog post not too long ago, and I did a webinar about rural and small town churches. Mm-hmm. And some of the comments were amazing. The churches in these rural areas that had a revitalization that also included a financial revitalization without
right.
outside lines. So
right.
at some point it can turn around. Okay, let's go to these 5 questions, get into them right away. Question number 1, have we listened to wise counsel outside the church? Mark, you provide that wise counsel at times. Sometimes it's a design build firm. Sometimes it's a financial expert like Art Rainer, and we bring him in from time to time. But the first thing you need to do is just ask someone, what should I do? And I know you get asked the question a lot.
Well, a lot of times in a revitalization situation, my experience has been sometimes there's just one treasurer who handles everything.
The treasurer.
The treasurer. I literally write the checks, deposits the checks. We've talked about that in the past. But if it's not just one person, sometimes in a church that's in deep decline, it's a very small number of people. And they become very protective about that process for whatever reason. And they can be very suspicious sometimes if anybody from the outside wants to come in and try to tell them how to do it better. That has been my experience, because I've met with a lot of declining churches who are having some real financial issues. And when I bring up the idea of someone from the outside coming and taking a look at the books and mm-hmm. understanding how we might, they immediately become very defensive about that, as if we don't trust them or we think something is wrong or it's nobody else's business. I've heard them say that before. And so I think sometimes it's not a matter of we just haven't listened. Sometimes they choose not to listen to wise counsel from outside, and it just makes the problem much worse. There's a lot of good counsel out there. There's a lot of guys and churches and associations, state conventions, networks that would love to come alongside a church, take a look at their books, help them understand their financial plan a little bit better. But there is some real resistance to doing that. And I know some of the guys listening right now, some pastors, they know exactly what I'm talking about. You start questioning things financially, and boy, it can get real defensive real quick. And that is a huge issue in revitalization.
Here's a recommendation we sometimes make, Mark, in those situations. There is a site, and it you know my son, Art Rainer. I think you know mm-hmm. I think you know the other Rainers better, but you do know Art. And Art leads a site called Envelope 3. You can see it in the show notes, envelope3.com. And basically, for pennies, you can go find out where your church stands compared to other churches. You just input a little bit of information, and boom, you're able to say, okay, this is how we're doing well, this is how we're not doing so well. And that sometimes is more palpable to these treasurers than this voice coming in. All they have to do is input data, and they can be compared to other churches. So
I think that's absolutely right. But I do think it's really imperative that churches that are struggling financially look for some outside guidance and help. And as I said, there's so much out there right now regarding how much you pay your staff, what percentage should be going to different things in the church budget, things like that. There's great information out there. So just being open to it, listening to it, and actually following it. Now, those are the really challenging issues.
The second question is, are there indications the shortfall is seasonal or systemic? To talk about systemic, at Church Answer Central, which is our ongoing community of Church Answers members, there was one comment that was made maybe 2 or 3 months ago. And basically it was this: hey, we have been losing X amount of dollars per month for the last so many 3 or 4 years. I don't remember the specifics of it. And the loss has been as low as this, but the loss has been as high as this. In other words, there's been a loss every month, and they were running out of cash. And the poor pastor, you know, the question is, what do I do? Well, one of the questions we always ask is this systemic or seasonal? Is this something just because you had to go replace a boiler or part of a roof and the money will replenish itself? Or is this something that is happening every single week, every single month? And if you don't stop the bleeding, it will be a complete die out. And probably you hear more of the systemic than the seasonal, but I don't want to presume upon the efficacy and the sagacity of the one Mark Clifton.
Yeah, don't ever presume on that. I'll tell you what, that'll get you in trouble big time. Now, sometimes when I'm dealing, especially with pastors who maybe are their first pastorate, they'll call me and they'll be a little bit panicked about the financial situation. And it is seasonal. Maybe it's really getting bad in the summer. And mm-hmm. you have to say, hey, take a minute, look at what it's been over the last 4 or 5 years. See when the majority of the money came in. I mean, you have some people in your church who give primarily at the end of the year for various reasons. They may be farmers or have some investment income that comes in at the end of the year. So take a look at that. And then also, as you just said, take a look and see, have there been some major expenditures that will not be there in the coming years? And so, Dr. Rainer, I always tell them, kind of look at, take the last 5 years, lay it against what's going on right now, and try to get some idea if this is a, as you say, a systemic problem or just a seasonal issue. And that'll help you understand that. And frankly, in most dying churches, it's a systemic problem, because as churches die, elderly members pass away, or they move to a care center or They move to go live with their children. And many times they're giving, obviously, if they pass away, their giving ceases. And if they move, sometimes that giving is changed. And even if you reach some brand new people in your community, you're not likely to have the same level of giving that you had in those older folks. And so that's a real issue to look at in a dying and declining church as the church grows older and as people begin to pass away. And it's something that really can drastically impact your budget. And so you have to kind of plan for that and understand that as a reality that's coming up.
That is a perfect segue to question number three, which is, do we need to do everything we are doing? And I'm going to have a corollary to that. Are there some things that we can be doing that we aren't doing? It's really asking it in a different way. Now, let me give you one example. Do we need to do everything we are doing? I'm going to park on that a moment, then I'm going to ask the question, are there some things that we aren't doing that we could be doing? Many times when you look at the expenses of a church, the expenses are there just because they've always been there. Obviously, that's not the case. You cannot eliminate utilities. You cannot eliminate some of the baseline that just keeps the doors open. But you do need to ask the question, are there some things that we are doing that are on this particular expenditure that we don't need to do anymore? I have been shocked to find some of the expenditures of churches, and you look at it and you say, why are you doing that? And they said, well, I haven't really thought about that. And maybe you can eliminate some of that.
Well, basically, I think, especially in declining and dying churches, they're doing everything somebody in the church wants them to do. somebody likes this program or this thing or this agenda, and we just keep doing it because if we quit doing it, somebody will get upset if we stop it. And even though it may not be really impacting our neighborhood, it may not be making disciples, it may not be helping the kingdom. You know, Bill and Mary, it's their pet ministry. They love it. We can't not do it. We got to keep funding it. This kind of fellowship thing we do every year, we got to keep doing that, whatever it might be. Even to the extent sometimes of, and I'm really treading on thin ice here, but sometimes of giving to other entities outside the church that you've been giving to for years without ever really looking at it and wondering if this is the best use of our money. Is there a better place we could use it? Those kinds of things. And so I think absolutely, Dr. Rayner, taking a look. And that's why someone from the outside can sit down and go, look, this isn't proportional here. And basically, as we say, if we define success as a pattern of making disciples that make disciples, that result in the community being noticeably better, and then you look at your expenditures and you try to determine, well, how we spend our money, how is that helping us become successful? Or perhaps how is it hindering us from becoming successful? And those are very hard questions to ask. But if you're in a crisis situation financially, those are questions you absolutely need to ask. And my guess is we don't need to do everything that we're currently doing, but we probably need to do a lot of things that we're not doing.
I'm going to get to that one too in just a minute.
I know.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. What were you saying?
Well, and reason we don't do the things we need to do is because we're still funding the things we don't need to do. And once again, if you have the same people making the same decisions year after year, sort of controlling the money year after year without any inside help or outside guidance, I should say, you're going to end up in that kind of a downward spiral financially. And then, as I said, if you connect that to older adults who are passing away and no longer giving, and expenses, utilities and insurance and those kinds of things that continue to go up, absolutely your church is going to be in a financial strain. Now, sometimes they may sell a property next door. They may sell a parking lot they have. May do something like that that buys them a little more time. But you know, I kind of call that life support. That's not really indicative of what the church is doing.
It does not solve the systemic problem. It becomes a seasonal revenue as opposed to a seasonal expense, and it goes away as well.
Absolutely.
So I got this story, Mark, true story. Some of the information is disguised just a little bit so that I don't make it obvious to the person who shared it with me. But about 2 years ago, one of our Church Answers community members contacted me and asked for some help, and it was financial. A rural church at the time running about 75 or 80. And I don't remember the specifics of the budget to be able to give them with precision, but just for simplicity, I'm going to say the budget's $100,000 and they're having trouble paying their bills. And so I said, well, send me the budget. Let's look at it. I became the outside expert. I wasn't talking to the treasurer, I was talking to the pastor. So I looked at it, and first thing that jumped out was the $5,000, again, estimated evangelism program. Well, I'm kind of for evangelism, Mark. I kind of like the Great Commission, but it was 5% of their budget. I mean, really jumped out at me. And I said, what's that? And he said, well, that's our evangelism program. I said, well, tell me about it. He said, well, I'm not sure exactly what they do, but they do use the money. I said, I asked the question, so how many conversions do you have? And they said, he said, you know, it's really been a problem. We hadn't had a person come to Christ in 3 years. And so I'm saying, all right, Pastor, I almost said his name right here. You haven't had a conversion in 3 years. You spent $15,000 on evangelism. So I said the obvious thing. I said, why don't you eliminate that? And maybe I think you could probably have more effective evangelism for a lot less cost than that, because anything is more effective evangelism than what they do. And he said, well, I did ask the treasurer about it. And the treasurer said, no, that's a sacred cow. We can't touch it.
Which is where we started this podcast. I think many times in a normative sized dying church, whoever manages the money, whether it's an individual or a small finance committee, I mean, I have been in churches where the pastor, actually, we did a survey one time of issues in the church, and you always have those questions, you know, what are some real issues that you see? And so the pastor wrote that one of the issues was that he couldn't buy a box of Kleenex unless the church treasurer gave him permission to do it.
Oh, and I've had that church treasurer before too.
And unfortunately, when we were doing the reporting, those comments weren't supposed to be read, but the individual doing the reporting actually read the comment from the pastor. And true story, the treasurer sitting there, all the color went out of the pastor's face. And I headed for the back door really quick.
to wrap up the point number three rather quickly, I asked the pastor to check whose sacred cow it was. The treasurer checked into it, and the treasurer then realized that person had been dead for 5 years.
Right.
So they didn't even have, but they were spending, they were sending the money somewhere, but it was having no local effect. All right. Number four. Are our personnel and commensurate costs aligned with our mission and needs? In other words, this is a tough one. When I say commensurate, I'm talking about personnel, cost, benefits, et cetera.
Wow.
I don't even need to say anymore, because are you in Kansas City today?
I'm in Kansas City today. Yes, okay. I am.
So I'm hearing this moan from Franklin, Tennessee to Kansas City, or is it Shawnee? Is that where you are?
I live in Shawnee, out west of Kansas City.
Okay. From Franklin to Shawnee, I'm hearing a moan coming through the waves of the internet. Why are you moaning on that one?
Oh, man. So many times churches still compensate a variety of staff and part-time positions that perhaps they needed 20 years ago or 15 years ago, but they no longer need, and it's no longer valuable to them. But because of the personalities involved, it may be a part-time secretary, it may be a part-time custodian, maybe a part-time music or other staff person. And really, the church doesn't need that. Their finances have gone down. The direction of the church has changed. The neighborhood has changed. Everything's changed. But they have very little flexibility financially because they've got all these commitments to personnel that 20 years ago, 15 years ago, were probably appropriate, but not appropriate today. And I see that over and over, and it is a very difficult thing for these churches to deal with that, because so many times personalities are wrapped up in it. I mean, a lot of times maybe the church no longer really needs a part-time church secretary, all right? I mean, you and I both know, I mean, the way we make phone calls, the way we handle mail, the way we pay bills, it's all so different than it was 15 or 20 years ago. And especially if the church has declined in attendance, you know, maybe they used to write a weekly newsletter and have a bunch of other things going on, and they don't do that anymore. But this dear one's been a member of this church for 20 years. Her families are members here. Her children are members here. We can't let her go. That's just a harsh reality that I see over and over again. And so I know, Dr. Rayner, in all of your wisdom, you're going to be able to tell us right now how to deal with that.
go to envelope three and just and see how much your expenses are out of line. You can do that immediately. And I'm not going to say anymore because I get in trouble every time I say something about this, especially on the secretary issue. I mean, I'm thinking about it. I need to mention we've got Kevin with us in Lexington, Kentucky, Kevin Spratt in the production area. And we have Amy Jordan in the Richmond, Virginia area, and she's with us. Amy's been with me almost a decade, serving usually as an executive assistant, first at Lifeway and now at Church Answers. I'm trying to count how many letters I've dictated to her. I don't need one hand. Dictation just does not. Now, I know some people like to just dictate. That's their whole life as a leader, but not many people. All right.
Well, one more thing, though. In all seriousness, I have sat down with some declining churches that have had some staff people, and we've looked at what do they do during the week? What do they do with the hours that they're being paid? And man, sometimes, as I said, 20 years ago, they would have been completely busy. But today, there's really not that much for them to do. And that, Dr. Rainer, is sort of the elephant in the room sometimes with these dying, declining churches.
Yes,
the reason
is
they don't have enough resources to do what they need to do.
For time's sake, Mark, I'm going to just read the fifth question. And because we've done so many podcasts on church adoption, replanting, and we just have a library on those, we'll put that question out there as open-ended and we'll address it some other time. Do we need to be adopted? And we have a plethora of podcasts. And then NAM has all kinds of resources on church replanting. So
yeah, well, let's just end it by saying there's a real possibility that the financial situation of the church would make it necessary for them to be adopted by another congregation.
Okay. We'll defer on that because we have talked about that. And what's the best place at NAM to get information on church replanting?
Churchreplanters.com. Churchreplanters.com. And actually, I know we're going to be together in Bradenton in April, but in late August, right here in Kansas City, August 24th and 25th, we're going to have 2 days where we're going to talk about what it means to be an adopted church or how to adopt a church. So you'll find information about that at churchreplanters.com.
Got it. Very good. Thank you, Mark. And always thank you, the North American Mission Board. Revitalize and Replant is sponsored by NAM and North American Mission Board and churchreplanters.com. You just heard about that. As we look at churches in North America that are at risk of closing, NAM is committed to reversing the trend by decreasing the death rate of existing churches and increasing the birth rate of new churches. Learn more about them. Once again, go to churchreplanters.com. Once again, before we close out, early bird admission is about to end on the Revitalize 2020 event. It's going to be incredible. It will sell out. It's April 20 to 21st in Bradenton, Florida, and I'll be partnering with Idea Network and NAM. You go in and register right now. Highly affordable, able to do that. And just to let you know, I will see you there. Mark Clifton will see you there. Thank you again for being on this special bonus episode of Revitalize and Replant, where we are helping churches get healthier together.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer. If you'd like to learn more about re-energizing your church to reach your community, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Google Play or in your favorite podcasting app. For additional resources on church leadership and to join the conversation online, visit tomrainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.